1 Samuel chapter 20. Then David ran away from Naioth and went to Jonathan. "What have I done?" he asked. "What is the great sin that I've committed? What wrong did I do to your father, that Saul, to make him want to kill me?" Jonathan replied, "God forbid that you should die. My father tells me everything he does, whether it's significant or not, and he would not hide this from me. It's not true." Well, as we said before, Jonathan's loyal to David, but he's also his father's son and he loves his dad. And so his loyalty is divided. And this is how it is in so many families and people. They love Jesus and yet their family pulls the other way. And if you live in a family where you're all committed Christian believers, that is a huge blessing, because Jesus did say that he came to set people against each other within families. Mothers against daughter-in-law, and brother against sister, father against son, and so on. And this is what happens when people are not completely committed to God or Jesus, but they're more committed to their natural family. And so when there arises the conflict, it gets very difficult. And so poor Jonathan here, he says, no, my father wouldn't kill you. Well, Saul has thrown javelins at David, and he's trying to kill him. So he does do things like that, but Jonathan doesn't really want to accept that. David replied, "Your father knows very well how much you like me, and so he's obviously not going to tell you his plans to kill me, because he knows that you'd be upset. But I'm telling you before God that there is only one step between me and death." Jonathan said, "I will do according to your mind." David replied, "Tomorrow is the feast of the new moon, and I, as usual, am supposed to sit and eat with the king. But if you agree, I will go and hide in the fields until the evening of the day after tomorrow. And if your father notices that I haven't come to the table to eat, tell him that I asked your permission to rush home to Bethlehem, since it's the time for the annual sacrifice there as well for my family. If he says, 'All right,' well, okay, I will be safe. But if you see that he becomes angry, you will know that he is planning to harm me. So please do this thing for me and honor the holy promise that you made to me. If I am guilty, well, kill me yourself, but don't take me to your father to be killed." Jonathan replied, "Oh, don't talk like that. Don't even think like that. If I knew for sure that my father was going to harm you, surely I would tell you." David asked him, "Well, who's going to let me know if your father answers you angrily?" Jonathan replied, "Let's go out into the fields." And so they went. And Jonathan said to David, "May the God of Israel, Yahweh, be the witness between us. At this time tomorrow and on the next day, I will question my father. And if he responds positively about you, I will send you word. But if he does clearly intend to harm you, may the Lord strike me dead if I don't let you know about it and get you away to safety. May Yahweh be with you, as he was in the past with my father. If I remain alive, please honor the covenant that we made and be loyal to me. But if I die, then please show the same kind of loyalty to my family forever. And when Yahweh has completely destroyed all your enemies, as he will do, may our promise to each other never be broken. And if it is broken, Yahweh will require this of you." So again, Jonathan made David promise to love him, for Jonathan did love David as his own soul. Then Jonathan said to him, "Well, tomorrow is the new moon feast, and so your absence is going to be noticed if you're not at the food table. So the day after tomorrow, your absence is going to be noticed even more. So go to the place where you hid at the other time and hide behind that big pile of rocks there. I'm going to shoot 3 arrows at it as if I were practicing target practice. And I'll tell my servant to go and find my arrows. And if I tell him, 'Look, the arrows are on this side of you, get them,' that means that you're safe and can come out. I swear by Yahweh himself that you will be in no danger. If I tell him, 'The arrows are on the other side of you,' then leave, because Yahweh is sending you away. And as for the promise that we made to each other, may Yahweh watch between us so that we keep it forever." So David hid in the fields. At the new moon feast, King Saul came to the meal, sitting in his usual place by the wall. Abner also sat next to him, and Jonathan sat opposite him. But David's place was empty, but Saul didn't say anything that day because he thought, surely something's happened to David, and maybe he is unclean for some reason, he's not coming to the table. On the next day, the day after the new moon feast, again David's place was empty, and Saul said to Jonathan, so why didn't David come to the feast either yesterday nor today? Jonathan replied, well, he begged me to let him return to Bethlehem. And he said that I should let him go because, he said, our family is also celebrating the same feast in town and my brother ordered me to be there. So then, as you're my friend, please let me go and see my own family. That's why he's not here in his place at your table. Saul was absolutely furious with his son Jonathan and said to him, how rebellious and unfaithful was your mother. Now I know that you're actually on David's side, and you're just bringing disgrace upon yourself and your terrible mother. Don't you realize that as long as David lives, you will never be king of this country? Go and bring him here. He deserves to die. Jonathan replied, but why should he die? What's he done wrong? Saul then threw his spear at Jonathan, trying to kill him. And Jonathan realized that his father was indeed determined to murder David. Jonathan left the table in a great anger. I mean, not surprising, because his father just tried to kill him. And he refused to eat anything that day, the second day of the new moon feast. He was so distressed about David because Saul, his father, had so insulted him. The following morning, Jonathan went to the fields to meet David as they'd planned. He took a young lad with him. You see again how God works through young people. And he said to him, run and find the arrows I'm going to shoot. The boy started running, and Jonathan shot an arrow far beyond him. When the boy reached the place where the arrow had fallen, Jonathan shouted to him, the arrow's further on. Don't just stand there. Quickly. Hurry up and chase after it and run further. Now, of course, David was hiding. So hearing Jonathan shouting, run further, quickly. Well, that was the message. Well, the boy picked up the arrow and returned to Jonathan, his master, not understanding at all what was going on. Only Jonathan and David knew. Jonathan gave his weapons to the boy and told him to take them back to the city. After the boy had left, David rose up from behind the pile of rocks, and he fell on his knees and bowed with his face to the ground three times. Both he and Jonathan wept and kissed each other. David's grief was even more than that of Jonathan's. Then Jonathan said to David, may God be with you. May Yahweh ensure that you and I and your descendants and my descendants after us will always keep the holy promise that we made to each other. So David left and Jonathan returned to the city. So you can imagine how difficult life would have been for Jonathan there in the court and how difficult life was for David on the run. And so this is how it is. There are different ways of serving God. Some people are right out of things, like those who are persecuted for their faith and risk death, like David did, or the likes of Jonathan, who may be in the city surrounded by those who think otherwise and those who actually hate Jesus. And you're sticking up for Jesus, and you're not going to let his name be taken in vain. And it's so difficult. That's also a very, very difficult situation. So you see here two young men who are both in very difficult situations and yet both trying to serve God just in very different ways.